I ask you to turn now in God's Word to the psalm that we read earlier, the words of Psalm 138. Psalm 138, page 554, it was in our pew Bible. As we gather here today once again for the worship of God, we come before him as those that he has made. We come before him with our various different personalities and dispositions. We're not all the same because God hasn't made us all the same. God loves a variety of personalities. And all of us fall somewhere on that spectrum of personality where at one end you have those who always expect the worst, and at the other end you have those who always expect the best. And where you are on that spectrum, it may vary a bit from time to time in life. You may move a bit along it in one direction or another, but we're all somewhere along that spectrum. Some people are naturally much more optimistic than others are. And that is simply a reflection of the fact that God gives us a variety of different temperaments. But God also gives to some people saving faith in Jesus Christ. God saves some people. And that salvation leads to changes in the way those people think. God's salvation affects what a person believes. And it is a good thing when a person's faith is seen to show itself in their expectations, what they expect to see happening in life. Now, today I want to speak a little bit about some of the words of David in Psalm 138. I'm not intending to look at this psalm and all it says, but I want to look at it from one particular angle. And there's a little phrase towards the end of the psalm which I always find encouraging when we sing that particular version of the psalm. We'll be singing the A version of Psalm 138. And in stanza 6 of Psalm 138, we have these words: "The purpose that the Lord has planned for me, he'll surely perfect make." The purpose that the Lord has planned for me, he'll surely perfect make. And those are great words. It is a blessing to have that kind of outlook and that kind of expectation in life. It is a good thing if you carry with you in life a belief that God has everything in hand, that you are in the circumstances you are in because God has so planned it, and that you will experience in the future things that fall within the good and perfect purpose of God. All that will happen to you will be because God has those things in mind for you. That is a good thing to believe. If God gives you the faith to believe that, and that is true, that is a good thing. It is a way of looking at life that provides great stability. When the things we may be experiencing in life might unsettle us, might seem to make little sense to us, if we know that the purpose that the Lord has planned for me, he will surely make perfect. Well, that is a good thing to know. How do you get there? If you don't believe that, How do you get to the stage of carrying that belief with you, and that whatever might happen to you in life, that's the way you'll see it? You'll be thinking to yourself, this is something that is within God's good purpose. God has planned that this would happen in my life, and whatever that good purpose of God has in this thing, he will make that perfect. How do you get to being someone who actually thinks that way? Well, I believe that this psalm suggests that you cannot think that way unless there are other thoughts that you have as well. Thinking along those lines in that little part of the psalm, that is not an isolated thought. It comes as part of a package. You know how sometimes in life there's something you would like to have, but it comes as part of a package. You can't have it on its own. You can only get it along with the other things, maybe the other things you don't really want. It comes as part of a package. And this comes as part of a package. If you're going to believe that in whatever happens to you in life, that God is in that, he has a good purpose, he has a good plan, and he will bring it to perfection, you'll never get there unless there are other thoughts that you think as well. And in order to have that good and healthy mindset that we find at the end of the psalm, we have to share in the thoughts that are in the rest of the psalm as well. So what else is true of those who are able to believe that in all things in their lives, it will be the good purpose of God that will prevail? The first thing is that those who think this way are thankful worshippers of God. It's those who are thankful worshippers of God who have that faith that David expresses there in the last verse of the psalm. The opening verses of the psalm, he comes across to us as a thankful worshipper of God. He is a man that is full of praise, full of thanksgiving. He says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. In his heart, there'll be room for no other gods. He will delight in being a keeper of the first commandment, having no other gods in the sight of the true God. God will be his God, and God will be in his thoughts because God is in his heart. I will praise you with my whole heart, David says. And as he thinks about this God who is in his heart, his desire is that he would worship God. He wants to worship God. He wants to worship God at God's appointed place and along with God's people. He says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name. Now, David, as the writer of the psalm, lived in days before there actually was a temple, but he knew there was one coming. And his determination was that he would be a worshipper of God, and he would worship the Lord towards his holy temple. He would be one of the worshipping people of God. David is a man who wants to engage in the worship of God because he sees God as wonderful. He delights in God. He delights in the loving kindness of God, he mentions in verse 2. He delights in God's truth, he mentions also in verse 2. He delights in God's word that he mentions in verse 2. And he delights also that God is a God who has often answered his prayers already in life. He has cried out to God, and God has answered him. God has given him boldness. He has given him strength in his soul. Now, David is a thankful worshipper of the Lord. And if God is someone that you will have confidence in for the future, well, then God needs to be in your thoughts in the present. And in the here and now, you need to be a thankful worshipper of God if you're going to believe that God will be with you, working out his good purposes in all of your life. God needs to be your God in the ordinary, down-to-earth, settled days of life if he is to be there as your stabilizer when you need a stabilizer in the unsettled days of life. So that's the first part of the package. We have to be thankful worshippers of God if we're to know a confidence in him for all the future holds for us. The second thing is that we need to be those who desire that others would praise God. David wasn't just someone who thought about himself, and as long as he was worshipping God, everything was fine. David was the king of Israel, but he wasn't a self-centered king that didn't care about anybody else who was in a position of kingship. And his desire was that the other kings of earth would come to know and praise the God that he knew and praised. David understood God's promise to Abraham, that in Abraham all the nations of the earth were to be blessed. And David's desire was that the kings of the other nations, that they too would desire to praise the Lord God Almighty. And so he says in verses 4 and 5, all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Now, he didn't see much of that happening in his days. When David watched the news on his TV at night, which of course he didn't, but it wasn't full of stories about how the different kings scattered throughout the earth were praising the Lord God of Israel. That wasn't happening. He didn't see that. But that was his desire. His desire was that those other kings wouldn't waste their worship on the false and useless gods that they were worshipping, but that they would come, and that there would be a time when the kings of the earth would be doing what he was doing. And ultimately, the scriptures teach us how all kings will be brought to acknowledge the greatness of the Lord. Every king's tongue will confess that the Lord is great. We're taught that in the New Testament scriptures. But David had that desire. He wanted others to join in the praise of God. It wasn't enough to him that in his little corner, he was praising God and other people in his nation were praising God. He wanted to see the Lord praised where he wasn't being praised. And that's a desire that God needs to plant in our hearts. That it's not just my praise of God that's important. The important thing is that God is to be praised. And so those who will know the comfort that is there at the end of this psalm are those who have a desire that other people will join in the praises of God. The third part of the package is the quality of lowliness or humility. Those who have a strong trust in God's good purpose in their lives are not the people who are proud of their achievements, of their accomplishments, of what they have done, but rather it is those who are lowly, those who are humble. Verse 6, we're told that though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Those who are proud, they love themselves. They love nothing more than they love themselves. Those who are proud trust in themselves. Those who are proud serve themselves because they don't see anyone better to serve. Those who are proud believe they deserve to have their way. They believe that they have the right to get what they want in life. They believe that that is fitting, that that's the way things should be. But David says that the proud the Lord knows only from afar. The scriptures teach us God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It is the humble, it is the lowly who receive the grace of God. It is the lowly people, the people who don't think highly of themselves. Those are the ones that God looks upon with favor. It's those who don't see themselves as deserving anything good from God. Those are the people who are able to have confidence that because of his wonderful grace, although we deserve nothing good, we will receive nothing but good from the hands of God. If we're to benefit from that belief that God has a purpose and plan for me that's going to be worked out, we have to have a loneliness. We have to recognize that that is not what I deserve. I am not someone who deserves that everything would work well for me. And that's the third part of the package. There needs to be this lowliness. That's what God's looking for in terms of whom he will bless. The fourth part of the package that has to be there is that we have to accept our troubles. Those with a firm grasp that God will bring good in our lives are those who believe that God has every right to send troubles into our lives. David knew what he was writing about when he wrote about troubles. He had many, many troubles. And that was not something that he resented. It was not something where he thought, God is not being fair to me in these things. He didn't believe that he deserved to lead a trouble-free life. God sent him troubles again and again. If you were to pick a character in the scriptures that you would like to change places with, you probably wouldn't pick David, because there's so much trouble that he encountered in life. But he was not someone who was kicking and screaming and shouting against God. He wasn't telling God again and again that I could be a much better king if you would just deliver me from all these troubles. He wasn't someone who was thinking, I could write far better psalms than these psalms if you would give me peace. If I had a quiet, comfortable life where I could sit and I could write the things that I feel you're laying upon my heart, my psalms would be so much better. But you keep on putting me through these troubles and these enemies are against me and people are trying to kill me. How is a man supposed to write psalms in the midst of a life like that? That's not the way that David thought. He saw his troubles as being part of God's good purpose. And so he says in verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. David was a man who knew lots of trouble. And the people in life who have that strong trust in conviction that the Lord will bring good out of all our situations. The people who really believe that are not those who've never had any trouble in life. It's not those for whom life has always been easy and there's always been a comfortable landing. It's not the people who've never known heartache. It's not the people who have never known loss. It's the people who have been crushed but are still going. They are those who have known the Lord to be with them in the midst of their troubles. And they believe that that's what he'll do again and again and again. Here I am in trouble again. How's this going to work out? Well, the same way as it's worked out before. The Lord will be with me in my trouble because these are his troubles that he has brought me into. And so it's a necessary ingredient in having that positive outlook on how this is going to all pan out that we accept our troubles. If you want to know God's peace as you face the future, you have to recognize that God does not dishonor himself by sending troubles into your life. That doesn't damage his reputation. Here's a Christian and they're having a hard time. Rather, God brings honor to himself by delivering you in the midst of all your troubles, all your fears, all your struggles. And he's there with you. And people say, I thought they would never come through that. But God brings you through. And that was how it was for David. He accepted his troubles. And these are things that are a part of this package that is here in this psalm. These are the ways that we need to think about important things in life if we're to know the blessing that's there in those words at the end of the psalm. We need to be thankful worshippers of God. We need to be those who desire that other people will come to worship the God that we worship. We need to be people who are lowly or humble, and we need to believe that God has every right to send troubles into our lives. And then in the last place, I want to say a little bit about God's perfect purpose and plan. In the final verse of the psalm, David writes, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." David believes that God will continue to show mercy to him. And what has happened to him in the past, it's not that God has been remarkably against him, but God has been remarkably with him and for him. God has not punished him as he deserved to be punished. He has been merciful, and he'll keep on being merciful. And he believes that God is not going to forsake the work that he has been doing. And that's what he asks God. Do not forsake the works of your hands. And he expects that God won't forsake the works of his hands. He prays in faith. He's not asking for something and he doesn't think God's going to do that. David believed that the Lord would perfect that which concerned him. Or as we will sing it, the purpose that the Lord has planned for me, he'll surely perfect make. That is a great and a reassuring thing to believe. It's a great thing to believe whatever stage you're at in life. It would be a good thing for our primary school pupils who are realizing that their days at primary school are coming to an end and there has to be something different coming up in the future. if they believe the truth of these words for themselves, that would be a good thing. When you're a little child, how are you supposed to know what would be a good school for you to go to next? You've never been at those schools. It's all different. It's all outside of your experience. How could you possibly know? But if you believe God has a good purpose, God has a plan, and God will take me to where God knows it would be good for me to be, well, then that would give you peace. For those who have finished school and are waiting to see what comes next in life, there can be confidence that what God has planned, that is what he will bring about. What God has planned for you may not be what you've planned for yourself. You may not get to where you've applied for. But God had a plan in place before any child ever fills in their application forms for university or whatever it might be. God knows more than we know. And we can trust his good purpose. For some, education is over. Those days are being left behind. And life changes. Suddenly you have to work. And that's a whole different experience, a whole different kettle of fish. And you're not sure how that's going to work out. You're not sure if what you're getting into is really something that you're going to enjoy, something that you'll be fitted for. But if you believe that God knows what he's doing and that God's good purpose will prevail, well, that makes all the difference. And whatever our situation is in life, whatever change we may think looks to be coming, whatever uncertainties there are and we just don't know what is coming or what way things are going to develop, here is the confidence that we can have in the Lord. Remember the three P's in the verse that we sing. It talks about God's purpose, God's plan, and God's perfect outworking of those things. The purpose that the Lord has planned for me, he'll surely perfect make. Now, the specifics of God's plan for you are different from his plan for anyone else. But among the family of believers, there is a common purpose of God. And think about what we read in Romans chapter 8. What Paul says there about God's purpose for believers. He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." What is his purpose? Well, he says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." God's purpose is that we would be like Christ. And he goes on and he says, "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." God's good purpose for all believers in Jesus Christ is that we would be conformed to the image of God's Son. God wants to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. How is he going to do that? How is God going to make people like us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you know what? One of us is going to have to change, because we're not naturally like Christ. And God can go one way or the other. Either he can make Christ to be like us, or he can make us to be like Christ. And you know which way he's going to go. God loves his son. He dearly loves his son, and he wants all his adopted children to be like his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus. And if we are to be like Christ, well then we'll have to change. And how are we going to change? None of us are very good at changing. None of us are very good at signing up for change. God usually has to make us change. And that's why he sends troubles. That's why he sends uncertainties into our lives. God will use all the different life experiences that we'll encounter. He'll use those things to refine us, to purify us, and to beautify us. He does it so that we will become more like Jesus. And ultimately, God will take his saved people to glory. And the scriptures tell us, 1 John 3, verse 2, that we shall be like him. We shall be like him, and we shall be like him forever. And in that blessed eternal existence, in that blessed eternal state, the purpose that the Lord had planned for us all along will have been made perfect. And it will continue to be so forever and ever. And so we can take these words and ask God to impress them upon our hearts, that we could believe that there is a purpose, that there is a plan, and that it will not stop short of perfection. The purpose that the Lord has planned for me, he'll surely perfect make. That's a great thing. That's a great thing to be sure of. May God help us to be sure of that if we are in Christ. Amen. Well, let us sing those words, among others.